RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. We'll hear this time from Mystery in the Air, a series produced by NBC that aired for 13 episodes between July and September of 1947. We'll hear the first episode today titled The Marvelous Barastro. This one first aired August 7th, 1947.
Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, presented by Camel Cigarettes.
Yes?
You're Mr. Amos G. Hall, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Who are you?
I'm Barastro, the hypnotist and magician. He called me the Marvelous Barastro.
What do you want? How did you get in my office?
I said I was a magician. I do such things.
Well, why have you come to see me?
Why? Because you're a great lawyer, and I'll have need of your services soon.
Indeed?
Yes, indeed. Because tonight I shall commit a murder.
Each week at this hour, Peter Lorre brings us the excitement of the great stories of the strange and unusual, of dark and compelling masterpieces culled from the four corners of world literature. Tonight, The Marvelous Barastro by Ben Hecht. Mystery in the Air, starring Peter Lorre, brought to you by Camel Cigarettes.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel. Let your own experience tell you why more people are smoking Camels than ever before. And the best place for that experience is right in your own T-zone. That's T for taste and T for throat. Find out what your taste has to say about the rich, full flavor of Camel's superb blend of choice tobaccos. Find out how your throat reacts to Camel's cool, cool mildness. You, like millions of delighted smokers, may well find yourself saying, Camel suit my T-zone to a T.
The famous criminal lawyer Amos G. Hall sits staring into the hypnotic eyes of the Marvelous Barastro, who has just announced that tonight he will commit murder.
Yes, Mr. Hall, For a long time, I've dreamed only one dream, to kill this man.
Why? Who is he?
Rico Sansoni. Have you heard of him?
No, can't say that I have.
Well, he's a great magician, a great hypnotist, yes. He's clever, he's too clever. I've hunted him from country to country, from city to city, all over the world. Sometimes I've almost caught him. In London, I only missed him by only 2 hours, but tonight I shall meet him face to face.
You know where he is then? Right now?
Yes. Rico Sansone is here in this city now. Tonight he opens in his first stage performance, and I'll be there waiting for him.
Hmm. Well, apart from the legalistic aspects of the case, why do you want to murder this man?
Why? Listen closely, Mr. Hall, and perhaps you'll know a part of my hate for this fiend. Oh, it began some time ago. I was traveling with a small carnival through Eastern Europe. I cast horoscopes, I read the future, I revealed the past, and conversed with the spirits. That is how I earned a meager living. Well, one night our carnival came to a village, somewhere in Belorussia. Peasants and the villagers gathered around our tents and wagons, and through a hole in a black box where I stood, I watched a crowd while a barker made his spiel.
The rascal, the magician who speaks with the dead, tells the future, reads the secrets of life. The rascal who reveals the past.
Then I saw her. She had a young and gentle face. She was beautiful. Oh, so beautiful. I couldn't take my eyes away. And then to my indescribable joy, a peasant led her in, and I saw at once the girl was blind.
This is my granddaughter, Anna. She would like you to tell her fortune.
Can you tell my future?
Yes, Anna, I can.
Will it be a happy one, my future?
Well, show me your hand, and I'll tell you.
Here.
I took her hand. And suddenly, I felt a chill. I could hear the voices. I could hear and fear, a great fear gripped me. But the girl's beautiful, sightless eyes, they were so full of hope and faith, I just couldn't tell her the truth. Spirits promise you great happiness, Anna.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, your hands will touch beautiful things, and love and great happiness await you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, thank you, thank you.
That was the beginning. Her face never left me that night, and I couldn't sleep. The next morning, I looked for her, and I found her. We walked through the hills, and she spoke of the trees she could not see.
I call that tree lullaby, because it sings when it sways in the wind.
Yes.
And this other I call prayer. They told me its branches open toward heaven.
I was with her that whole day, and the next, and the next, and we walked often in the hills and the forest, and she knew every turn in a path. We were in love, and when it came time for the carnival to move on, I asked Anna to come with me as my wife.
You make me very happy, Gregor. I could live only with you. I love you with all my heart.
And I love you with all my heart, Anna. And I'll care for you and I'll protect you.
And you'll teach me, Gregor. You'll teach me to see.
To see?
One doesn't need eyes to see as you do.
No, one does not.
Oh, please, Gregor. Teach me to see beyond the horizon. Please teach me to see as you see.
Yes, Anna. My sweet little Anna. And the day we were married, we rode together in a gilded wagon, and our vows were taken under a clear sky. But immediately after, the sky suddenly changed. I realized what I had done. It was I. It was I who was carrying out the terrible message of the stars. For it was I that fate had selected to destroy her. From that moment on, I was haunted. One evening, it was less than a month later, I stood in a black box outside my tent, and I knew it had come. That graceful, smiling man who stood before the tent, he was studying Anna. Not once did he take his eyes from her. Hey, you! You, why do you stare at her?
Let go of my eye.
I don't want you to stare at her.
Who are you?
That makes no difference. She's my wife.
Oh, I most humbly beg your pardon, sir.
You see, I was admiring your wife.
Yeah? Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Rico Sansone, the hypnotist and magician. I'm going on a world tour soon, and I'd hoped she could join me as my assistant. I feel she has remarkable psychic powers.
She is blind.
I apologize doubly for my seeming forwardness.
Oh, I knew he sensed the ominous shadows around her as I did, but then he smiled, and I was disarmed, and soon I became interested in his talk. He talked like a friend. He flattered me about my knowledge of the secrets of our profession.
I noticed you performed a disappearing cage trick, Balastro.
Yes, I do.
A most difficult one that you performed magnificently.
Thank you. Well, come, Sansone, I'd like you to meet my wife. She's here in the wagon.
Delighted, my dear Balastro. It's a privilege I'll not forget, let me assure you.
Oh, Gregor.
Hello, Anna.
Gregor, who is that with you?
Oh, it's a gentleman I want you to meet. Anna, this is Rico Sansone.
A great pleasure and a great sorrow. You see, I've been watching you tonight in the hope I could persuade you to become my assistant. But now I learn you're this charming gentleman's wife. How fortunate is the marvelous Balastro.
Marvelous Balastro? Anna, did you hear what he called me? Anna, what's the matter?
I have nothing to say.
I'm sorry. See, my wife and I, we seldom have visitors.
I understand perfectly. But I hope that she will like me when she gets to know me better.
So, Rico Sansone entered our lives. In the days which followed, he attached himself ever more closely to us, as a lonely man would who seeks friendship of those he likes. But Anna, she would never trust him. Sometimes after he would leave at night, she'd whisper,
I don't like him, Gregor. I don't like...
Why?
I feel something strange from him.
And I, like a fool, I would always defend him. I'd remind her of his gay talk and how he made us laugh and how interested he was in me and my methods of magic. Oh, I was flattered that even Rico wanted to learn from me. One night, Anna and I had just finished our dinner. She turned to me. She had a troubled expression on her beautiful face.
Gregor, there's something I must tell you.
What, my sweet? Are you getting tired of this kind of life, huh?
Oh, no, no, Gregor. It's this afternoon.
What about this afternoon? What about it, Anna?
Rico.
What about Rico?
This afternoon, Rico came here and talked to me as he always does.
Yes?
I suspected nothing. But then he took my hand in his and asked me if I loved you.
He asked you what?
If I loved you even more than happiness or life.
What do you say?
I was so frightened, I just asked him to leave. I don't like him, Gregor. I'm afraid.
Again, I reassured Anna. After all, what had happened? Nothing. Well, our friendship continued. Weeks passed. The carnival had moved to Hamburg, and we had taken an apartment in the city. We spent the days together, and he was more and more interested in my every word and thought and mood, and as always, I was flattered by him.
You have a funny way of saying beautiful, my friend.
Hmm?
How is it again?
Beautiful.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Beautiful.
Look, Rico, you were telling me about that.
Beautiful. Oh, I like you, Gregor. I like you very much.
Yeah. Yes, amazing, isn't it? How one can be taken in by flattery. Yet so clever was he, I never realized the terrible truth of his friendship with me. I was in my tent one afternoon when a warning swept over me. It was all of a sudden, but I couldn't mistake it. I left the tent and I hurried to the apartment. And carefully, I opened the door. Yes, there was Rico, standing with his arms around my wife, her face raised to his lips. She kissed him. And then I heard him talking. It was my voice he was using. My voice, completely mine. At the sound of his voice, a nameless fury seized me. Now I knew why he'd been so interested in me, why he'd spent so many hours with me. He'd learned to perfection how to use my voice. Now his words seemed to come from my own throat. I sprang forward, shouting, Rico, Anna, don't touch him! Don't touch him!
Mr. Peter Lorre will bring us the climax of tonight's Mystery in the Air when Camels present Act Two of The Marvelous Verastro.
You know, it's getting to be like a chorus as one champion after another joins in with the same words, those true, true words. Experience is the best teacher. Yes, Cecil Smith states that it's experience that counts in polo. Mildred O'Donnell says the same thing about diving. And Don Whitfield about racing outboard motorboats. And they all say that when it comes to choosing a cigarette, experience is the best teacher, too. Like all of us, they had the experience of smoking anything they could get during the wartime cigarette shortage. They compared the differences in cigarette quality. Really became experts, you could say. That's when experience really taught them all about the rich, full flavor and the cool mildness of Camel's great blend of choice, properly aged tobaccos. And it taught so many other people, too, that, well,
more people are smoking Camels than ever before.
Experience is the best teacher. Try a Camel yourself.
Amos G. Hall, the attorney, sits at his desk fascinated by the magician Barastro as he tells his strange story. Now the attorney leans forward.
That is incredible.
Yes.
You mean this Sansoni had studied your speech and mannerisms so perfectly that he was able to deceive your
yes,
wife?
Yes, incredible as it may seem.
Well, go on.
Well, I hardly remember rushing across the room. All I could think of was to kill this man, to kill him. Anna screamed, and he and I, we struggled across the room over chairs and tables against the walls and the window. I saw him through my rage. Every feature had changed. He was Barastro. There were two of us. Yes, two. Barastro screaming instead of fighting. Then he had me by the throat. His strength was terrifying. The breath began to leave my body as this horrible fiend changed and he became Rico Sansoni again.
Barastro, have mercy, man. Gregor, you're killing me. I am dying.
Yes, he was pretending it was I who was killing him. He would kill me and live with Anna as Barastro. Cruel eyes burned into mine, and he leaned close to my ear and whispered,
"You fool, I'll kill you for her."
It was then that I cried with all my might, "Anna! Anna!" And then suddenly a gray darkness flooded over me. I don't know how much time had gone by when I opened my eyes. I looked around the room. He was gone. Then I saw Anna. She was crouched against the wall. I tried to whisper. Anna. Anna. I began to drag myself across the floor to her. When I got to her side, I tried to reach for her hand. She pulled it away and screamed. And then I realized her terror. Who was in the room with her? Was it Rick? Was it her husband? How could she know? I pleaded with her. I assured her again and again that Rico had gone, but she remained against the wall, her hand held in her teeth and staring into the terrible dark around her. Frantically, I searched my mind for words to tell her it was really I. Look, Anna, listen. Remember, Anna? Remember our walk through the hills? First time? See, remember, Anna, your trees? Remember them? The one you called lullaby? And the one whose branches pointed to the sky? You called it prayer. See? See, Anna? It is I. Listen carefully. Look, remember I read your future? It was the first time we met. I said, the spirits promise you happiness and your hands will touch beautiful things. Love and great happiness await you. And you said, oh, thank you, sir, thank you.
Gregor, help me.
Yes.
Gregor, please help me. God, help me.
Yes, Anna. Yes. Rico had disappeared, but from that day on, I had only one thought, to guard against the day I knew must come. We traveled all over Europe, and she learned to smile and be happy again, and at times I felt her fears had left her.
Vienna is such a lovely city, Gregor. I knew it would be like this in the spring. Gregor, these mountains, they're like the ones near my village. Mm-hmm. Why, I can almost see them. Oh, it's wonderful to be home, Gregor.
Yes, sir.
To walk in our hills and over the old paths again.
Well, at last I felt it was safe to get a job in a cabaret. I had to get a job. Our savings were almost gone, and I had only worked there 2 weeks when I felt that same terrible warning sweep over me again. Choked and dizzy, I ran to our cottage. Yes, Rico was back. I stood there, motionless. Silent, listening. I heard her laugh like a child. All I knew, I had to kill this devil who would take my wife, my identity, my happiness. I am sure if I had been able to think, I would have realized that I shouldn't rush into the room because it would kill her. I'm quite sure Rico knew it, but all I could think was I had to kill him. And then, Mr. Hall, I had a terrifying idea. What if Rico killed me? He'd go on living with her as Barastro, and she'd never know. See, Mr. Hall? Well, I opened the door and walked in. Anna, don't touch him. It's Rico.
Anna!
Well, this, sir, is my memory of Anna. She tore at her eyes with her hands as if to tear away the darkness. As I rushed to her, she fell. She didn't speak again, and the next morning she died. Sansoni, I think you understand now, Mr. Hall, why I'll kill Rico Sansoni tonight. Now you know why I may need your services to defend me. No, not my life, but my name and my honor. Good night, Mr. Hall.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've practiced criminal law for 25 years, and I've heard many strange tales. But that night, I couldn't sleep. The next morning, there was an item in the paper. A train had hit a car in which two magicians were riding. One was killed, his body so badly cut up as to be unidentifiable. The other was in the hospital. I hurried over there, made inquiries, and went to the room. I quickly told the nurse my business, and she led me to the bed. Two burning eyes, all that was left of a face, stared out through a mass of bandages as the nurse leaned over close to him.
Your attorney, Mr. Hall, is here.
Yes.
Well, I guess you'll not have any need of my services after all. The police haven't placed a charge against you, have they?
Police? Why should they? It was an accident. Just a bad accident.
Well, it must have been perfectly done. You know, the only thing I don't understand, how could you have killed him in the accident and not be killed yourself?
Well, I'm the marvelous Barrasto, am I not? Why don't you believe me?
Week, the makers of Camel cigarettes send free Camels to servicemen's hospitals from coast to coast. This week, the Camels go to Veterans Home, Yountville, California, Lockbourne Army Air Base Hospital, Columbus, Ohio, U.S. Naval Hospital, Great Lakes, Illinois, U.S. Marine Hospital, Fort Stanton, New York, and Veterans Hospital, Staten Island, New York.
The makers of Camels take great pride in the fact that among the millions of smokers who enjoy Camels, there are many doctors. 113,597 doctors in every state of the Union were queried by three leading independent research organizations. What cigarette do you smoke, doctor? That was the question. The brand named most was Camel.
According to a nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette.
Next week, Mystery in the Air, starring Mr. Peter Lorre, brings you The Lodger, by Mrs. Belloc Lowndes, with a special musical score composed and conducted by Paul Barron.
How about it, mister? Have you tried mild Prince Albert in your pipe? More pipes smoke Prince Albert than any other tobacco. See if you don't like that extra rich, full flavor, too. Like Prince Albert more than any other tobacco you've ever smoked. Prince Albert is specially made for smoking pleasure, specially treated to ensure against tongue bite. Crimp cut to burn slow, smoke cool. Fill your pipe with mild PA. Be sure to listen in on Prince Albert's Grand Ole Opry Saturday night. You'll hear Red Foley and his Cumberland Valley Boys, Minnie Pearl, Rod Brasfield, and all of the Opry gang. And as Red's special guest, you'll hear Texas Jim Robertson. Remember, Prince Albert's Grand Ole Opry, Saturday night, over NBC.
Listen again next week at this same time when the makers of Camel Cigarettes present Mr. Peter Lorre in Mystery in the Air. The artists supporting Mr. Lorre were Henry Morgan, John Brown, Barbara Eiler, Howard Culver, Jane Morgan, and Russell Thorson. This is Michael Roy in Hollywood wishing you all a pleasant good night for Camel.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
That's our strange tale for this week. Hope you liked it. You can find more from Mystery in the Air at RelicRadio.com. Alongside past episodes of Strange Tales, everything else Relic Radio, like our Shoutcast stream, all the other podcasts, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, give that button a click. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.